Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Are you a lifelong learner? I hope so, because we're going to talk today about how you can probably actually find some intellectual property that you might not even know about related to your personal brand and that you could monetize this. So Katie and I just spent time pre-show. Katie, you saw that shout out that I did as a LinkedIn post where I kind of called out four people that are huge platforms, much bigger than mine. And I called them out. First of all, I complimented them, but then I said, hey, I think you're missing some intellectual property potential. Only one of the four responded, and he kind of didn't even say, hey, yeah, you're right, I could. He kind of said, well, all my IPs and my companies, and then left it at that. But Katie, Tom Peters wrote an article in 1999 that said, you are, what did he say? Something like, you are the company, I think it was. But he was basically saying like, or you are the brand. That's what it's called. You are the brand. And this is before Facebook, before a lot of social media. But Tom Peters said the day's coming when you're going to be your own brand. And sure enough, he nailed it. What do you think about that, first of all?
No, I think that's so true now more so than ever, right? Because the way in which you interact with your company, the way in which you interact with your clients, right? Depending on your job and your role, but how you really put it out there to the world, it's all unique to you. And that's all wrapped up in your own habits, your own way of thinking, right? And it's very much individualized too.
Absolutely. So I butchered it, but we're here. It's called The Brand Called You. Can you see my screen? This was a Fast Company article.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. Isn't that cool? Well, think about that. The Brand Called You, 1997.
Wow.
And this guy, look at this. Big companies understand the importance of brand today. This was in 1997. In the age of the individual, you have to be your own brand. Here's what it takes to be the CEO of Me Incorporated. I'm telling you, Katie, it's like this guy peeked into the future. And this was, again, before Facebook, before Instagram, before Twitter, before probably even LinkedIn. And he could see that this thing was coming. And so when these CEOs that were on this big podcast, Daniel Priestley, Cody Sanchez, Stephen Bartlett, Alex Hormozi, all very successful people. But when I looked at the USPTO and saw zero trademarks, two trademarks, four trademarks, even I think Alex Hormozi had the most with 11 or 12. These people are cranking out IP and they have millions and millions of followers. And I'm thinking they're just not aware. I showed that picture in our article about 45 ways that IP shows up.
Yeah.
So if you were sitting here talking to those four, and doing an IP harvest, which I know your incredible company that you work with does, Dana and Wigan, that's what you do. Is it Wigan or Wiggins?
Wigan.
Okay, so Dana and Wigan out of Boston. But I mean, that's what you do. You sit down with people and harvest their IP. What would you tell somebody, these four, when they're like, I don't think that's IP. What would you tell them about all the frameworks that they have and slogans and verbiage and all that?
Right. And you're right on the money, because these influencers, every day they're creating new content, new ideas, new innovations. And so many of them, all their slogans, right? Those could all be protected with trademarks.
Oh, yeah.
All of their, like a lot of them have their own branding. Right? They could trademark their name too, because a lot of times their name creates a lot of notoriety.
Yeah.
And so that's another big area. And also they have a lot of videos, right? content creation that they're pumping out all the time. A lot of that could be copywritten works. So kind of the sky is the limit as to the amount of protectable material they're creating. Now, they're obviously not going to go, you know, trademark every phrase they create, but I think that's where a tool like Instant IP comes into play, right? Because you do this too.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, you maybe think of something, you want to get some protection on it early on, and then kind of test it out to see, okay, is this something that's really going to stick? Then it might make sense to trademark. But if it's something that, you know, I use it here or there, it's probably not worth the spend to get a trademark on something like that.
It's exactly my strategy. You've seen it. I mean, you're my IP lawyer. You've seen that. I have 400. In fact, we just did this recently with the IP holding company that we started. I had a list, all the copyrights, all the trademarks, all the patents, and all the smart contracts that we've created. And just high numbers would be 400 plus smart contracts, 6 trademarks, 2 patents, 14 copyrights. So yeah, I use this thing that I want to show people. This is the chart from our book. We call it the IP protection comparison chart, which by the way is IP. And here it is, but it basically says, yeah, there's times where you want a patent 100%. And we we put 2 patents on Instant IP, bunch of trademarks, bunch of copyrights, but you name it. I mean, you know, I come up with a blog post in the morning, no fence, no fun. And I'm like, ooh, that's good. If you don't have a fence around your IP, you won't be able to have any fun. And so I'm like, I'm going to protect that. No fence, no fun. So I quick Google it. Nobody's got it. Then I quick go to the USPTO, look at trademark. Nobody's got it. Boom. And then I timestamp it with Instant IP. And at least I can then go back and say, look, this counts as prior art. This is the first use. This is the first in commerce. There's no debate. And then probably when I go to Dana and Wiggin, they like that because it's not fuzzy. It's not like, oh, when did you come up with that? Well, I don't know. I wrote it on a piece of paper somewhere. I mean, does that help?
It helps so much because the thing is too, like record keeping too, right? We lose that piece of paper. We can't find that email. We're like, oh, I think maybe, you know, that was in an email. You know, I started using it in an email 10 years ago. We can't track it down. So it's just a great way to give more clarity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what it is we're doing, because we can all get forgetful. We can all, you know, not know, but this kind of, it's a great tool for record keeping and tracking processes here. And even, you know, not only just these kind of slogans and phrases, but also with just trade secrets too. Because with trade secrets, the biggest thing is keeping it safe, secure, confidential, but also knowing when did you kind of first come up with that trade secret. Mm-hmm. And so to have a timestamp on it, something like that is tremendous value. Right? Because then we have a secured proof. This is when we really thought of that methodology or that idea.
Absolutely. So I my goal is that Instant IP becomes the go-to, just like the USPTO, where if you look at this, Katie, this is the public protected portal, and it's you're able to search as well. You're able to look at companies. There's my mom. She protected something the other day. That was kind of fun.
Helping my
75-year-old mom protect something. But you can see lots of companies are using this. But then we're up to, get this, Katie. We'll have a little thing pop up here, I think. I think we're up to 2,304. Can you see that?
No.
Okay, let me show you. This is pretty cool. We have on all of our websites now a counter.
That's so cool.
So now if you look at the website, 2,304 total IP protected. So I got to ask you, Katie, because you've been with me since day one with Instant IP. How cool is that to see that this little idea that we had, now there's over 2,000 forms of IP that have been protected and it's growing every day.
It's so awesome. Well, and I just think back to, you know, when you first thought of the idea.
Oh, it was for books.
It was just for books, right? Yeah. And it was, linking books to the blockchain. And just, you know, this is what's so cool about working with entrepreneurs is that the idea starts with one, you know, thing, and then it just explodes into all these other areas. And so, like, that's just exactly what you've done with this, where you kind of started in one area and you've blown it up across every sort of industry here.
It's true. You know, like, I see this all the time with entrepreneurs. I teach entrepreneurship at Cedarville University, but failure. I mean, I sat with day one class one yesterday with four entrepreneurs. The cool thing was my son was in the room too. And I just threw out, I said, failure is, and then I said, fill in the blank. And if I just would have asked him up on the street and said, what do you think failure is? You know, they would have been like, oh, it's devastating. It's horrible. It's embarrassing. But because I couched it, I played a video of Ferrari and how Ferrari actually said he wanted to lose because when he lost, he got feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So like every time Ferrari lost with a race or a product or a part, he was like, ooh, this is good. Now I have feedback to improve. And he said, when you win, you don't get any feedback. So right. A lot of people in the room said failure is learning. Failure is helpful. But yeah, we literally said failure is feedback. And that's what Instant IP was. A lot of failure. I mean, I don't know if I've shared this story publicly. I'll have to do a whole episode on this sometime, but I burned through, I hate to say this, I'm not proud of it. I burned through over $100,000 in the wrong direction with when Instant IP first started. I mean, I thought it was all about domain names. And I thought we were going to protect domain names on the blockchain and do all kinds of stuff. And so I just started burning money, trying to think down that path. And then finally I woke up and I'm like, oh, this is totally the wrong direction. And you can hang up the towel or throw in the towel. Don't you think some entrepreneurs are like, I'm an idiot, I'm done?
Yeah. It's very easy because it's risky being an entrepreneur, right? And it's easy to just say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to go work for someone else and have stability.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I just want to encourage everybody, if you're a big influencer, if you're a small influencer, don't forget Tom Peters' article, You Are the Brand. And the truth is, I mean, you've seen this. If Elon Musk goes into a new company, the stock goes up.
Yeah.
You know, this is true. I mean, this is true about athletes. Ooh, they just drafted so-and-so. Jerseys went up. Ticket sales went up. So people need to realize it's not just the athletes. It's not just the entrepreneurs. Why does a church hire a new pastor? You know, why does a school get a new principal? Because they're buying that person's brand.
Right.
And why does the principal get fired? Because they make a brand ethical or integrity or performance decision that's no longer a match. Like, I don't think people realize this. Like, this is how the world operates.
Right. Well, and the thing is, too, I think people don't realize, too, in the digital age we're in now, too, your brand is traceable.
Oh, yes.
Right? With the way we're recorded all the time, people have, you know, smartphones, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so you're constantly putting your brand out there, and it's traceable. So you can't run from it. You can't hide from it. And that's where, too, I think people forget that and they don't realize how much their brand building and putting it out there for everybody to see too.
Oh, you can get nailed. I mean, look at that one guy a few weeks ago with Coldplay concert.
Yeah.
One decision, 15 seconds of quote, wrong decision recorded. I mean, it had global implications.
Right. Exactly.
We're talking billions. Like if you count all the time, all the talk, all the attention, plus him getting fired, plus like there's billions of dollars in a 15 second decision.
Yep.
That's crazy.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. So, and I want to address as we close here, the person who says, well, that's why I'm not online. That's why I'm not on social media. That's why I never post anything. I would tell people that is a brand statement. If you go to apply somewhere and you can't be found anywhere, that's not actually good branding.
No, it's that'll dissuade you from getting hired. I mean, that's the number one thing employers go look at, right? They go check your social media footprint, your digital footprint, to look for your brand, right? And figure out, is this somebody we would want to hire? Do their values align with us? And is this, you know, going to be a good fit? And if you don't have anything out there, I think that raises even greater red flags.
Absolutely. That is. So not to have a brand is a brand statement.
Yep. Right. Right.
Yeah. Last time I checked, the Pope had 7 Twitter accounts or X accounts, and they were because English, Italian, you know, all the different languages. So I'm thinking, folks, if the Pope, and I'm not saying he's tweeting, but I'm saying if the Catholic Church says that their leader needs a social media account to reach people, there's something there.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I didn't realize he had so many accounts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Katie, this is great. I want to encourage people, check out Dana and Wigan. If you need help with trademarks, copyrights, patents, if you want to get in the game and do that first fast layer, check out InstantIP. .app. You get a free credit. Try it out. See what you think. We have people checking it out every day and loving it. And Katie, we have some big events coming in September and November that I'll be in Boston twice, and looking forward to collaborate with MIT and what do you call
it? Challenge.
Yeah. What is that? Is that called the University of Massachusetts? Talk to me. What is
That's UMass.
UMass.
That's a different thing. But yeah, Mass Challenge is kind of a local accelerator that launches a lot of unicorn startups. So it's a great, if anybody who's listening is an entrepreneur and is a first-time founder or needs help kind of growing their company, I'd encourage them to check it out. It's started here in Boston, but now they have offices around the world, and you can apply to programs anywhere. You don't have to be located there, but I've been a mentor there for 5 years, and it's a really awesome community of people who want to help grow your startup and help give you, you know, feedback, mentorship, guidance in different sectors of technology.
So good. All right, folks, check it out and join us on the next podcast. We're going to be giving you a ton of value, learning how to identify your IP, protect your IP, and then monetize your IP. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.